very happy to see so many first-time visitors coming to the temple. Nice. Thank you. My personal thanks for your coming. I'm also visiting. And during the course of this stay here in the temple for this Memorial Weekend, I've been giving a series of lectures or seminar on this book, Sri Bhakti Loka, by Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. This book is describing some of these very, very basic and relevant teachings, how to advance nicely on one's spiritual path of devotion to the Supreme Lord. They're taken from some writings by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was one of the very famous six Goswamis of Vrindavan, very important persons to carry forward the mission of Lord Chaitanya on our altar, facing the altar on the left-hand side, with their arms raised. It's Lord Chaitanya on our right, and on our left is Lord Nityananda. Lord Chaitanya appeared in West Bengal about 415 years ago, and he was teaching through this congregational chanting, just as we've been doing for about an hour, through the process of calling upon the Lord's name with love and devotion, that the natural attraction of serving God awakens within the heart. The dormant affection of love of God becomes manifest. And then how that loving mood manifests itself in practical activities, that constituted the rest of his teachings. How to lead one's life in devotion to the Supreme in such a way that higher and higher and the fullest possible attainment of love of God can awaken. So those teachings were written by the six Goswamis. Chief amongst them is Rupa Goswami. And so we've been studying those teachings. That's what we're going to be discussing this evening, one part of that. Rupa Goswami's explanation of there are six things that are very detrimental for advancing in spiritual life, and six things that are very beneficial for advancing in spiritual life. So we're going to be discussing one of the six beneficial things, the first on the list. You want to guess what it is? Enthusiasm. Utsahan. Utsa. Just like we have this phrase on the appearance day of the Lord, it's an utsav or a festival. Comes from utsahan, meaning utsahan, enthusiasm. One of our devotees, he's a devotee, a friend of our society, who travels internet. He makes his living by giving one of these inspirational talks in leadership to Fortune 500 companies and that kind of thing, all around the world. Like 300 days out of the year he's public speaking, and he's a well paid professional. One of the things that he gives is a lecture on the 26 qualities of a leader, and the first on his list, utsahan. Because it's the first on the list of Rupa Goswami, and he's a follower of Rupa Goswami, so it's first on his list. Utsahan. He's a former tennis pro. In fact, he taught tennis pros And when he speaks, he's like he's on a tennis court. He's moving back and forth. He's really energetic. Very, very enthusiastic individual. So in our discussion this afternoon, we were hearing from Bhaktivinod Thakur that in the matter of devotion to the Supreme Lord, faith is the primary component that must be there. Not blind faith. That's in all scriptures. Blind faith is not respected. But faith that's supported by proper understanding or scriptural knowledge. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement is that Shraddha is the only rule for those who are established on the level of bhakti or devotion to the Lord. So, our acharyas have analyzed that from the very, very beginning stage, this stage of faith, Shraddha, all the way up through the highest stages of prema, one can say that they're nothing but transformations in different stages of faith. From preliminary faith, adau, Shraddha, through the association of spiritually minded or saintly persons, sadhu sangha, faith is nurtured, to the point where with faith I take up practices in devotion. With increased faith I try to remove those things that are obstacles, that are contrary to a life in devotion, where faith becomes very firm and fixed, nishtha. And then where one becomes a little taste, a deeper taste for spiritual life, attachment to spiritual life, ecstasies in spiritual life, and the full-blown stage of prema. So many of our acharyas have analyzed like this. All those different stages, they're but stages of maturing of faith. Or it's but a continuum of the blossoming of faith up to the stage of love. Now faith is something that's inherent within the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, what's the situation with people that don't have faith in these spiritual ideas? Don't they have some kind of faith in something? And Krishna's answer is yes. Essentially, faith is intrinsic to the soul. It's something that's already there. We'll have faith in something or something or something. We'll have faith that we shouldn't have faith in something, but we have faith in something. So he describes faith according to the modes of nature. Faith in goodness, faith in passion, faith in ignorance, or transcendental faith. So faith is of the soul, and it, when reposed on that which is genuine, genuinely the object of eternal faith on God, genuinely directing our attention towards God, that faith unfolds. Then, in this writing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur reasons that the life of faith is enthusiasm. By that he means, supposing someone says, I have faith in God, and they don't do anything. They don't act upon that faith. Then it's meaningless. It's words that have no impact, that have no effect or meaning. So the meaning is when, with some enthusiasm, we do something about that. So he reasons that enthusiasm, as faith is the essence of spiritual life, enthusiasm is the life of faith. Interesting. And if we act with enthusiasm based upon faith that is coming in a standard form through standard scriptures and through proper direction, in other words, not blind fanaticism, but faith that's carefully considered and directed by scriptural authority, very quickly the obstacles on the path of spiritual life are crossed. For those of you that know this term, the anarthas in the heart, they're removed. Unwanted things in the heart. Artha means something that you value, something that you want. And anartha is something you don't want. It's undesirable. So things that are in the heart, we all know what those things are. Lust, anger, greed, delusion, madness. These unwanted things in the heart, holding enmity towards another person, jealousy, these things are unwanted in the heart. Those things are removed from the heart by this process of, with enthusiasm, taking up the activities that are faith and the indication of guidance of Scripture direct us towards. So, in short, faith is really essential. Excuse me, enthusiasm is essential. In fact, again, enthusiasm is the life of faith. So, as we've been discussing over the weekend, to understand the thing, to give a definition to something, it's helpful to know what the thing is as well as what it isn't. Something that's inclusive and something that's over there, it's what it's not. So something that enthusiasm, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, there are three things, three stages where there's lack of enthusiasm, or the absence of enthusiasm. We'll start from the bottom and work up. Inertia. The symptom of the mode of ignorance, tamagun, is laziness, sleep, lethargy, doldrums, lamentation, moroseness. This is the opposite of the quality of the soul. It's the soul is dynamic. The soul is the animating force within the body. Whether it's the body of a human, the body of a mosquito, the body of a big elephant, it's a little tiny soul that's animating. So the soul is very dynamic. And being in a state of inertia, where one makes no endeavors for anything, that's completely contrary to the soul. Then the next stage, someone may be, particularly in spiritual matters, someone may be active, but have no feeling, or apathy. Something that I'm very familiar with this term of apathy is student apathy. At least when I was going to college, that was a common thing. Student apathy, who cares? Who cares? So in spiritual life, one may also be engaged in some kind of activity, but without any real taste for that activity, or mechanically doing that something. Bhaktivinoda explains, the reason for this is because something that we do is done carelessly. We do it, but our attention isn't there. We're not doing it with care and attention and with feeling. Just doing it in a mechanical fashion. So, there's an antidote to this problem of apathy. And I'll just share this with our audience here, but something that I've been doing for the past about 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. There's a little exercise that I do, things that I'm reading or studying or that I come across. I make a little reading assignment for some people and send it out, little mail, little email, and a little summary of the thing. And the thing that I just did this past week was about gratitude. Prabhupada says some very interesting things about gratitude. Our scriptures teach us some very interesting things about gratitude. Prabhupada writes that one who has feelings in their heart of gratitude, as opposed to just taking things for granted, that is to say, we receive so much from God. We receive our life, we receive that which sustains our life, the air that we breathe and the water that we drink and the food that we eat and the light of the sun and fans twirling in the ceiling here to stir the air so we can breathe more easily, and so many things we're receiving from God. One can just push on, not even taking into consideration with any feelings of gratitude. But if there's some acknowledgement of the wonderful gifts that God has given, those feelings of gratitude will impel one to serve God. I can say, practically speaking, that feeling of gratitude is what carried me into living within a temple. I was living as a college student, not knowing where I was going in life. And some events came along in my life. The United States was engaged in the war in Vietnam. I was broadsided with a call to show up in the military, show up for a uniform and give up medical school and go fight in Vietnam. And I thought, that's not a good idea. Besides, I think the war is a mixed up idea. To take somebody out of medical school and send them to go fight a war in that part of the world, it doesn't make any sense. I was broadsided, passing through the intersection. So it caused me to consider what's the basis of these feelings. Is it fear, or is it foolishness, or is it just rebellion, or what are my real feelings? And in consideration of my feelings about my relationship with God, that started me on some investigation for considering. And after some time, coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada personally and Prabhupada's teachings, it completely changed my whole life. From not knowing where I was going, who am I, what's the purpose, and anything basic, to having very, very clear understanding of life's direction. So with great, I'm just personally saying, with feelings of gratitude and indebtedness to Prabhupada, I understood I must do something to repay what he's given me. I was lost in a dark place, just like we have this prayer. Om Agyana Timarandasya. Agyana means in ignorance. Timarandasya, in darkness of ignorance. I was in some dark alley somewhere, getting beat up by illusion, and not even knowing it was happening. And my spiritual master came and forced me to open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Gyananjana salakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. There's feelings of gratitude naturally there. And so with feelings of gratitude, Prabhupada explains, service follows. When you have a feeling of gratitude, you express it. You say it, you do it, you live it. Living a life of gratitude. A life of devotion is a life of gratitude. Apathy is carelessness. Callousness. Foolishness. Unnecessarily so. So we can stir up our feelings by understanding who it is that we're serving. That person who we're serving, I care about. And therefore, there's feelings within the activities that I perform. And I can do those activities with great enthusiasm. Great enthusiasm. I'll share this with our congregation here. In New York, I spent some time in our New York temple. There's a group of, well, it changes between 15 and 20 devotees from South America, from Buenos Aires. The temple, they've had a Hare Krishna temple there for a long time, but they don't own a building. They've been renting a building because the economy is, you know, it's crummy. It's worse than crummy. It's upside down. So they're very, very young devotees, any ranging, I would guess, between 18 to 25 or so. And they're there with the permission of the temple president to distribute books to the Spanish community in New York, and there's a lot of Spanish people in New York. And whatever funds they generate is going to buy a temple. Boy, are they enthusiastic. They are really enthusiastic. Really enthusiastic. And they're building that temple. And they're distributing those books. And they're very enthusiastic. And they're very happy. Really happy. And so nice mannered. And I just like being with them. They're so, they're inspired. It's an inspiration to be around them. Enthusiasm is contagious. I had one of them come to my door. Maharaj, could I speak with you for a moment? They speak only a little bit of English, mostly it's Spanish. May I have your blessings? I said, you already have blessings. You're greedy. They didn't know the word. Look it up in your dictionary. I said, enthusiasm. Yes, enthusiasm. I was teasing them. You have so many blessings. You're building a temple. You're distributing Prabhupada's books. You're very happy in Krishna consciousness. You have so many other devotees to associate with. You have so many blessings. And you want more blessings. You're greedy. Take all my blessings. They're yours. You already have them. And then they said, can I ask you one other question? I said, sure. Do you think I can go back to Godhead at the end of this lifetime? Seriously, that was their question. I said, with your enthusiasm, you'll go back to Godhead. Thinking what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in this Bhakti Loka, faith is the one principle necessary in bhakti, and enthusiasm is the life of faith. Boy, are they enthusiastic. Back home, back to Godhead. So carelessness brings about this situation of apathy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains carelessness, particularly in the matter of chanting, is a big problem. Listen to this one. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even if all of the other offenses in chanting are successfully removed, if one cannot overcome this carelessness or inattentiveness when chanting, you will not get a taste or an attachment for the holy name. So many of us, if not most of us here, are regularly doing some chanting on our own. So, on the enthusiastic appeal of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please be very, very attentive when you do your chanting. Be very attentive when you do your chanting. And then there is taste. And when that taste is there, back home, back to Godhead. It's the life. It's the life of our activities in devotion. Chanting is the most important of all of our activities in devotion. And attentively, very carefully. And as I've said already, if you care for the object of your devotion, you will chant full of care, carefully. By chanting of the holy name, we're associating directly with Krishna. He is with us. Or He allows us to be with Him just through calling upon His holy name. We should be very, very, very attentive, carefully applying our faculty of attentiveness to the holy name. And when we do that, all of the obstacles that stand between us and the spiritual goal of life are very quickly passed over. So that's the second. Inertia, apathy, and he gives a third of indifference, leading up to fully attentive Krishna consciousness. So indifference. Indifference is, I'm doing the activity and I'm applying my attentiveness to the activity. Some feelings are being awakened, but I get distracted by other things, like material things. It draws my attention away. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there's two kinds of indifference. Some is a good kind of indifference, and some is a bad kind of indifference. A good kind of indifference is being indifferent to obtaining the fruits of material activities, or obtaining the fruits of activities, material fruits of our activities. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we should be enthusiastic. We're entitled to perform our duties, karmanya eva adhikaraste, but mapaleshu kadachana. The fruit is something we should not be enthusiastic for. We should be indifferent. In other words, our position is servant. Krishna's position is controller and enjoyer. If we try to take Krishna's position as the controller and enjoyer, it's the false position. It's not our position. We'll become unhappy and frustrated because we're not controlling, we're not enjoying. We keep trying and we keep getting frustrated. One of our acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhusan, says something very nice in a purport to one verse in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says that one becomes indifferent to that which you feel unqualified for. By that he means, if you understand, as far as activities are concerned, actually there's another enjoyer. Let's say, I'll give a practical example. One day I was traveling through the airport in LaGuardia Airport. I just came in on a flight. And as I was walking along, I saw somebody's wallet, passport, all their documents sitting under a chair. And as soon as I saw it, I was thinking Prabhupada's statement that when you see the property of someone else, it's no more meaningful than garbage in the street. So I just kept walking. I said, no, I should turn it in to the lost and found. Because to somebody, that's very important. I know if I lost my driver's license and passport and all that stuff, I would really appreciate it if someone turned it into lost and found. So I went over to one of the counters, what do you call the boarding gates or something, and there were two ladies, employees of the airlines, and I said, where's the lost and found, or can I just leave this with you? They looked at all this, the whole pile of stuff, and they looked at me like, you didn't want to steal it? I mean, they didn't say that, but that was the look. nobody turns this stuff in. They, you know, it's a find. So no, garbage in the street. It's the property of someone else. It belongs to them. It doesn't belong to me. I was thinking afterwards, maybe it would have been better to find out the owner, return it to the owner, just in case they decided, I'll split it halves with you. But anyway, indifference, Bhaktivinoda, Baladeva says, indifference comes into the heart when you feel yourself ineligible for something. Krishna is the eligible enjoyer of all activities. Bhoktaram yogya tapasam. Not me. Krishna. And so if I can very enthusiastically do my duties and leave the outcome of those duties up to Krishna, that's a happy position. It's an honest position. And it's a position where I can sustain enthusiasm regardless of the outcome. This is a real test of enthusiasm. In Peter Berwash's seminar, he quotes Winston Churchill saying, enthusiasm is the ability to move on from failure after failure without any change in one's determination. Winston Churchill. Krishna's statement is that you recognize who the proprietor is, and feeling grateful for that proprietor and everything that he's supplied to us, serve him. Give him your whole heart. So in practical terms, we all have to deal with the material world, being in the material world, and duties that call upon us. As a sannyasi, I have to do those things, but to speak of all of you. There's so many duties that I have to attend to. Largely, it's helping people that are struggling with some of their duties. Maharaj, can I get your help a little bit with this thing I'm struggling? Sure. And because of caring about people, extending. So, anyways, we all have things that demand our time and attention on the material side of life. So some material activities are required, and we should do those that we're required to do enthusiastically in a simplified manner for the pleasure of Krishna. But what will help us sustain our enthusiasm and minimize the entanglement of material existence is to be especially enthusiastic. Organize your day. Organize your time in such a way that there's always time for hearing transcendental messages. There's always time for kirtan and your chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There's always time for associating with other spiritually minded people. Organize your time in such a way. Put your primary intention, attention into enthusiasm in spiritual activities. And the enthusiasm for involving yourself in material activities will subside. TV time will disappear. And all kinds of other distractions will subside and disappear. To the degree that enthusiastically, in company of other enthusiastic persons, and I think I'm just going to end with this notion, that one of the especially beneficial ways of increasing enthusiasm is to associate with enthusiastic people. Just like the kirtans here. Somebody wants to end the kirtan and wampers are going and the drum is beating and they want more kirtan. Enthusiasm. It leads to more kirtan, right? At least it's up to a certain point, then there's a cutoff. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even from the very beginning, these two features, faith, adau shraddha, but also enthusiasm, that is acting upon that faith that you have is essential. Because when one has a little faith, God recognizes. He's within our heart and He recognizes and He sends some good association. Then we have to receive that good association. We have to act on that. So enthusiasm and faith are necessary in the beginning, at each intermediate step, and at the end. And if that slackens, if our enthusiasm peters out, fades out, our spiritual life will also slacken and diminish. So, to gather that enthusiasm, come regularly for the kirtan. Come regularly when there's opportunity to hear about spiritual topics. Find time in the course of your week, each week that passes. Structure something where you can have some good association with spiritually minded persons. It will help carry you, your enthusiasm, and carry your spiritual life, especially if that spiritual life is nicely directed by standard spiritual teachings. Because Prabhupada writes this, when you act in knowledge, it increases your faith. I'll say it again. When you act in knowledge, it increases your faith. Because if there's genuine knowledge and you act according to it, you get something happens. Just like I see an Ayurvedic doctor when I go to India. And when I first started seeing the Ayurvedic doctor, I didn't know. I heard there's lots of Ayurvedic doctors in India. So I have to be careful which one I'm going to go to. So enough faith that I went to a few of them. I went to about four or five of them. And from those that are actually good, I acted according to what all of them said, and acted where there's according to knowledge. I got some realization, wow, this works. So guess what? Increased my faith in that doctor. And so I go back again, tell me some more, and I'll follow carefully. If we act in knowledge, it strengthens our faith. So it's not only important, it's essential to have good guidance. Very authentic spiritual teachings. Act upon them with enthusiasm, your faith will increase. So these are some of the ideas that are discussed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Bhakti Loka, and I'm going to end with that. Thank you very much for attentively participating. Hare Krishna.